The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Things just keep getting crazier and crazier. Welcome to The Big Show. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, streaming on Facebook Live. Let's talk about what's happening to our kids. And it is to our kids. It is certainly not for our kids. But you may recall that Jenny Durkin and all the politicians, they've talked about how one of the things they really want is universal pre-K. And I think if a parent wants to pay to put their kid in preschool, a parent should pay. But what universal pre-K is all about is our schools getting our children so that they can start brainwashing them at the earliest possible age. And what happened in the Seattle public schools is a classic example of all of this. Let us bring you our exclusive top story.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
A parent sent this to me. The parent wanted to stay anonymous, but because they know what the backlash will be. But at their child's Seattle public school, they were sent this attachment, this flyer. National Black Lives Matter at School Week. What is transgender and how can I be an ally? What grade do you think this is for? High school, right? Probably high school? Maybe middle school? No, this is for pre-K through grade 3. Pre-K. We're talking about 3 and 4 year old children. The theme is trans and queer affirming. Content standards. Understand there are many ways to express gender. Understand there is a range of gender roles and expression. Understand the importance of treating others with respect regarding gender expression. Is this a pre-K topic? Is this something that 3 and 4 year olds need to know about? After this lesson plan, students will know that gender expression is how a person presents to the world, hairstyle, what they wear, etc. When a person is able to express their gender in a way that makes sense to them, they are able to be who they are and feel happy. The skills students will be able to learn: understand the importance of accepting differences, discuss the negative impacts of bullying, and how to be an ally. Why is it important to accept people the way they want to be accepted? Why is it my responsibility to be an ally, and how can I do that? Now, again, 3 and 4 year olds is what we're talking about here. So then the lesson plan is make a Venn diagram, girl and boy, and show all the areas where they overlap. Then the teacher asks the 3 and 4 year olds, what makes a person a boy or a girl? Now, for 3 and 4 year olds, it's your chromosomes, your genitalia. And all of this nonsense about, oh, no, it's starting earlier and more kids. Now, this is outrageous propaganda when you start inculcating this in 3 and 4 year olds in the public schools. And then they ask the question, what makes a boy or a girl? And, of course, their answer is vastly different. You can't say chromosomes and genitalia is what makes a boy or a girl, because you will be then an evil hater. And so we want, and by the way, this goes so far beyond this lesson plan too. But then they have the books that you're supposed to read, either Introducing Teddy or My Princess Boy. In My Princess Boy, then the prompt questions, what are some things that make Princess Boy special? How does it make Princess Boy feel when people laugh at him? Think of a time when someone laughed at you or made fun of something you liked. How did that make you feel? And so, again. Let's get a hold of the kids as early as possible. Let's start to teach them, encourage them to express in ways that are very different from their biology. We've got unbelievable numbers of unhappy kids who are turned to alcohol and drugs and suicide. And we talked about that last week. The more that we do along these lines, and the advocates of it say, oh, no, it's to keep these kids from going down self-destructive pathways. Now, we have a generation of absolutely lost kids because, above all else, kids like structure. Kids need structure in their life. And this notion that nothing is real, everything is illusory, that gender isn't boys or girls, but it's this infinite number of gradations in between. That is the message. Okay, so that's in the public schools. Then what happens in Olympia as we speak? What happened this weekend in Olympia? Well, let's say your teen, who's been hearing far left propaganda since they were 3 or 4 years old in school, and now they decide that, mom, dad, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy, or vice versa. Well, there is a bill in Olympia that the Democrats have passed out of the House. If your teen goes to the doctor without you knowing about it, but you get the bill, it's your insurance, you have to pay the copay, you have to be on the hook financially for this. But you cannot know what your child went to the doctor for here in Washington if this bill passes. And again, this passed, I said the House, this passed the state Senate over the weekend. Republican Shelley Short says that is not right.
That's a huge issue of safety for our families and our children. If you can think of treatment and the parent wasn't aware that there may be follow-up complications or things they need to watch for, if the child doesn't tell the parent's not going to know what to watch for.
And she says that this is one of several bills in Olympia that is just specifically going after parental rights.
This is just insidious. It gets to the whole, you know, our kids, when they're 14, they should be able to do what they want, when they want, and not have to tell their parents about anything. Usually it's, quite frankly, tied to abortion and things like that.
And this is the trend line in our state. So let's get universal pre-K in. Let's start with a pre-K aimed curriculum to talk to kids about gender fluidity. And then if the kid's 13 and you know, she wants to have her breasts removed, or the boy wants to physically start becoming a woman or a girl, mom and dad don't even know about it. Government has control of your kids. Government has control of your kids' minds at school. They have control of your kids' body at the doctor's office. And that's what we are saying here. And again, the people who support this, this has become such an unbelievably leftist, radical legislature. And socialists doesn't even seem to do it justice. And we're talking about Marxism. So how did we get here? Well, again, the people who are attracted to all of this stuff are life's biggest losers. They are the people who say, yeah, I wouldn't know how to raise a kid anyway. I'll still crank them out, but I'll just have government. I'll have government tell them all about how boys are not boys in pre-K. Girls are not girls. And then when the kid decides to act on that a few years later, government will mandate that I have no parental rights, no say in this at all. This is happening right now in Canada, another socialist paradise, where a Canadian father is livid because the government has been giving his daughter testosterone and hormones so she can, against the dad's wishes, but with the assent of the government, because government has control now. Freedom is gone. And this is the end result of just the sheer number of losers here who can't even live their own life. So then when they have kids, they say, well, man, I got to have government take care of my kids' life, too, because I'm not capable of it. And these are unbelievably dangerous times as government starts to take over. I mean, pre-K, that's the kind of stuff they're talking about. That is nothing but pure propaganda. And then they get to the teen years and parents' rights are gone. The kids can do whatever. The activists who have controlled of their mind for the last 10 years, that takes over everything. And this is, as I said, this goes way beyond socialism. We've become a Marxist state. I truly believe every step we're taking, from the skyrocketing taxes to just transfer money from your family to Olympia, taking away parental rights, teaching social justice radicalism for 3 and 4 years old, year olds. Yeah, that's a Marxist state. That's the goal. That's Saul Alinsky right there. You get hold of the kids, you control the kids, and you control the future. And we got a bunch of kids whose minds are being polluted, including the next story in our Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Yeah, but this could also be a Dory Monson show exclusive, because I've seen no other coverage of this. Do you know that your kids, very possibly, check with your school, your kids are going to be walking out of class this Friday? You know why? Because adults won't take climate change seriously, so we, the youth, are forced to strike. It's the global climate strike on March 15th. The lead organizers of U.S. Youth Climate Strike, inspired by a 16-year-old climate activist, they're encouraging children to walk out of school nationwide this coming Friday so that they can make their voice heard on climate change. Now, again, this is an example of how your children get nothing but pure far leftist propaganda in the schools. They're shown the Al Gore movie, and they're not told the 15 things in that movie that never came to be, that it was filled with lies and inaccuracies. They're just given the one extreme left view that we need a complete reset of our global economy so that government can take over money, a one world economy, so that government can fight this boogeyman of climate change. Now, would they present an argument like mine, which is, yeah, climate changes, climate always changes, when there was no carbon emissions at all, with glaciers covering the Puget Sound area, those glaciers receded. Yes, our climate changes. And nobody knows to what extent man plays a role in all of this. And in fact, the people who bray the loudest about man's role, like Jay Inslee, he thinks nothing of flying all around the country and having a carbon footprint 100 times what you and I would have, so that he can try to fleece people on his climate message. Al Gore's nearly a billionaire on his climate message. And what I believe is that man likely plays a small role. It's so tiny a factor that we'll then do, if the oceans rise a few millimeters, then we'll do what we've always done throughout history, and that's evolve and adapt to changing shorelines. We're really good at that. But when, you know, they all use the phrase, it's an existential threat, like Bernie Sanders, But I want you to note, this is a soundbite from 1989.
We face, as all people know, an ecological crisis in our time, whether it's acid rain, the destruction of the ozone layer, the greenhouse effect.
Okay. By the way, was he the ant or the aardvark? I always forget that. Okay, but the existential threat. This is 1989. What was it? It was acid rain, the ozone hole, all this stuff that it's 30 years later. We don't talk about acid rain or the ozone hole because they magically have not become issues anymore. So when Bernie Sanders was stating with authority 30 years ago, everything he said was wrong. And now we're supposed to believe him and Jay Inslee today.
We face, as all people know, an ecological crisis in our time, whether it's acid rain, the destruction of the ozone layer, the greenhouse effect. One would think that the CBSs and the NBCs of the world will be doing primetime specials on these programs, having different scientists talking about the issues, involving people in understanding what's going on in terms of our planet. They don't. The function of television is to make as much money as possible for the owners of the television station and for those people who advertise with 30-second ads on television. So I would say that we're not going to bring about serious political change in this country until we deal with the media, which more and more is being swallowed up by large conglomerates.
So 30 years ago, we faced an existential threat, and everything he mentioned has fixed itself. It's all nonsense. But get our kids in pre-K, and they can be taught all of that nonsense starting at age 3. It relieves the burden of parenting from parents. Then your kid wants to switch genders. Government will facilitate that. You'll pay for it. You just won't have any say in it. That's a magical government-led world, isn't it? That is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then our buddy Brock Heward. I gotta get something off my back. A bunch of listeners, after Brock was on last week, accused me of committing a giant faux pas with Brock. So I'll see if he's okay with me. It's all coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
It's the Monday Monson Quarterback.
Blue in it, check, 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 check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With a 12s, here the Hawks.
Play fake to Penny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making a catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Well, it is Monday afternoon, and that means it's time for the Monday Monson Quarterback, and that, of course, would be Brock Heward from 710 ESPN Seattle. You hear him every morning, 7 to 10. And before I get into the new news of the week, after you came on my show last week, I started getting text messages from people who accused me of a really bad social faux pas.
Uh-oh.
So we mentioned that a week ago Saturday, your daughter won the state. Your daughter's team won the state 4A girls basketball championship.
Yes.
Eastlake, go Lady Wolves.
Yep.
And what I said was I sent out that tweet of you and your wife right as the game ended, and you mentioned I had so many friends there, but I had you right on my left, and I was accused that I should not, that I was too pretentious to come and sit right next to you for your daughter's state championship game, and I started getting hammered by people. Oh, are you Brock's best friend? Do you really think you're his best friend? Do you think some of his other friends would have sat next to him if that was okay, but they knew to give somebody their space for their kid's state championship game? Did I commit a social faux pas?
Well,
that's a yes. That's a yes. No. It didn't even cross my mind.
No, I think I said to you, sit here. I think I made it pretty clear that I would like to have someone here to calm me, to reassure me, to make sure I don't lose my mind.
Right.
So, no, I think I was pretty adamant. I don't think you wanted, frankly, to your listeners, I don't think you wanted to sit by me. But I almost strong-armed you that no, you were going to have to sit by me.
I want to sit by you. I just
don't know.
Didn't think of it as such a horrible social faux pas.
No, it was nothing like that. To Dory's listening world out there, he did not come in and plant his flag and his Dory fiefdom that it was going to be right next to me on my left. I think it was a lot more about I needed some sanity in that moment. Someone that had been there before.
Yeah.
Someone that had done it, had risen to the top of the mountain. And that last Monday was a fun show. I had a bunch of folks reach out.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty neat. Just a bunch of your listeners that are fans or sports fans. Yeah, and
lots of nice comments about
just,
you.
No. It was about just the opportunity we had to talk about high school sports and not just the East Lake Wolves, but all the winners at every single level.
Yeah.
It was cool to celebrate all that last week, for sure.
One of the texts said, "So Dory, did you throw out your arms and say, Brock, I have arrived," as you walked into the T-Dome? I was just getting hammered, Brock.
Your state title ring was a little ostentatious. And Suzanne wearing the ring on the necklace and everything else. I mean, it was a little much.
I was wearing our state championship
and
sweatshirt.
Your Shorecrest Scott State Championship hat and sweatshirt. I mean, all of that was a little much.
Okay. So let's talk about sports. The Seahawks are in the news. They announced, and I think we talked about this a bit, Frank Clark. They don't have a deal with him, and so they said, we're going to give you the franchise tag, which means he would make $18 million this year, $21 million if they had to do it again next year. And Frank Clark over the weekend said, probably won't show up, probably won't play for that, probably won't be at training camp.
Yep.
He wants a long-term, and this is what you said, that's what all these guys want.
It is. It's a danger of
long-term guaranteed money.
Where would you sit, Dory, if you were doing a sports show between labor, right, this labor force, which are these NFL players, and ownership? Where do you think if you were in our seat every single morning with a number of these topics, and we've seen them through the years, right, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, in this case, Frank Clark. Now, his is a little different. Those guys held out, and they were fined because they had a contract. He has only been tagged. And the NFL gives him the freedom to say, no, you can tag me, but if we don't do a long-term deal, I don't have to be there until week number one to sign that contract when we actually start playing regular season games. Would you tend to find, as you find yourself in these,
it's so hard.
Do you find yourself more on the labor or more on the ownership side?
It's so hard because money is such a corrupting influence. And I think we see that more obviously with the players because we just assume the billionaires are billionaires and they're going to take their Bentley to Orchids of Asia. And they're probably already tougher to get into heaven than a camel through the eye of a needle. But with the players, we see guys who are hungry like Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas at the beginning, and they're just playing with wild abandon and having so much fun. And then at the end, you see Richard Thomas flipping off flipping off his sideline.
Yeah.
And so I think it's more obvious the corrupting influence. But I also know that when the owners had all the control, that they were just taking horrible advantage
of
the
players.
Ugly.
You know, last year was such a breath of fresh air. I was saying this on our show this morning. It was such a breath of fresh air. That, you know, once Earl got done and he flipped off the sidelines, he was done. It was over. And he had almost this peace, this equilibrium of all these young, hungry guys that were playing totally for the name on the front of the jersey. There was no other, like, LLC. There was no other marketing company. There was no other agenda. There was nothing.
Right.
It was just we're young and we're hungry and we got this chip on our shoulder and everybody thinks we're not going to be good. And, man, what a ride it was last year.
Yeah.
But you just know in this league it's inevitable. If you produce, then you want yours. And Frank wants his $30 million. And then it'll be Jaron Reed. And then it will be Chris Carson. Oh, by the way, the quarterback needs his third contract. I mean, it just is the constant tug of war. You saw it just destroy the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They had two players, you know, star players, Hall of Fame caliber players that wanted more, that even sat out an entire year rather than making $14 million. It is just both the beauty and the curse of the NFL.
Well,
and it frankly is one of the reasons why they continue to be on the top of the hill.
Yeah. No, I know. And baseball, it's gotten completely out of whack.
Out of whack.
And you know,
basketball is nuts.
Felix Hernandez getting $27 million this year, pouting this weekend about that. You know this isn't just me since he's gone downhill. You know, I did not like Felix Hernandez when he was at the peak of his pitching powers. I thought he was a gutless pitcher. Always have thought that. But he's going to get $27 million. He can sit and pout because he's not the opening day starter with his spring training ERA of almost 16.
and deciding not to drive to Tempe. How about that this weekend?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, they had a split squad game. He was supposed to go pitch the game in Tempe. He's like, no. Nope, I'll pitch here.
Jeez.
And what do you can't do anything about it?
They got to cut him. They got to just eat $27 million. If it's going to get this contentious and his post-game, after the game, taking no accountability, not no comment on how angry he was about not getting the opening day, this is just not tenable. So eventually $27 million is going to be eaten in the final year of his deal, and we'll see whether or not he resurrects himself elsewhere.
Yeah. One more real quick thing. Did you see that story? Bryce Harper, who signed the 13-year, $330 million, that if he had signed with Dodgers or the Giants, he would have had to have paid $30 million over the course of that contract in California.
Correct.
State income tax.
Correct.
We have no state income tax in Washington, Brock. Why can't the Mariners take advantage of that?
Nor Texas, yes.
Build a champion.
That's exactly right.
Crying out loud.
This was fun. It wasn't quite as fun as last Monday. And I'll make it very clear. Dory did not strong arm himself. There was no faux pas.
Thank you, Brock.
If anything, you were gracious once again. You knew that I needed a left-handed man on my left side there to just have some sanity. And that
I
was
just
sure
wanted to insert myself into your glory. What's the matter with you, Monson? Brock Heward is the Monday Monson Quarterback. It's brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, it was a blast.
And we have lots more to come. It's the Dory Monson Show.
Rolls on, rolls on, rolls on.
No doubt now, the next president of the United States will be from our area. We just don't know yet if it's going to be Jay Inslee or Howard Schultz.
Yeah.
So they both made appearances over the weekend. I tell you what, I mean it. I said it in the big lead. Jay Inslee, for all of his fears about climate change, he is all over the country, flying around, burning fossil fuels. He really knows how to walk the talk, that man. And that's where I know it's all phony. I've said it a million times. If I truly believed that carbon emissions were the greatest threat facing our planet, my kids, my grandkids, do you think maybe I'd modify my life so as to have a smaller footprint? Of course I would. But, you know, Al Gore's burns more, his footprint is more than 10 times that of the average American. Jay Inslee this year is going to be 100 times the average American because they don't really believe it. They just know that it's a really good gimmick to try to extract money from gullible people. So over the weekend, in fact, there were some funny tweets. Maybe I'll read them in the Fast 15, but the Nevada GOP sent out a tweet that maybe they'd try to counterbalance Jay Inslee's message in Las Vegas, but he's polling at zero, so really no reason to do that. But then they got new polls this morning. How about that? Jay Inslee, as of this morning, is up to 1%. That's after being on every single talk show in the country, after getting free publicity for over a week now, and wait, well over a week, because he was doing all of those talk shows before he officially ran. So Inslee is now tied with Buttigieg and only 2 points behind Klobuchar. No, I have no clue who those guys are. I think Buttigieg is the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Klobuchar, no idea. But that's kind of the territory that Inslee's in right now. And then as he does these national talk shows, like he went on CNN, and Jay Inslee apologized for being a straight white male.
Why are you, as a straight white male, the right person to lead the Democratic Party if there's so much skepticism from Democrats in Iowa?
I think that I have evinced a humility about being a straight white male that I've never experienced discrimination like so many do. I've never been pulled over as an African-American teenager by an officer driving through a white neighborhood. I've never been a woman and been talked over in a meeting. So I approach this with humility. And that's why I've been so dedicated through a 25-year public career of advancing justice in our society, of making sure that we have as much diversity.
Can you believe that this is where the left is now? CNN as a network, Inslee as a candidate. He has to apologize for being a straight white male. Can you imagine CNN asking that of anybody? So is that the poison? Straight white male. So if you just weren't one of those things, if he was a gay white male, then maybe Jay Inslee wouldn't have to answer for all of this. Or if he was a straight black male, he'd be fine. A straight white female? I don't think that'll work. So that's where it is. Remember when he was talking about this a few weeks ago, and he was bizarrely talking about the diversity of his staff?
How diverse is your staff, for instance?
Well, my staff, my first chief of staff was a Hispanic woman in a hugely majority white community in Eastern Washington. She did a crackerjack job.
Crackerjack.
My second chief of staff was an Asian American woman, very talented in Congress. My current chief of staff is a fellow of the Jewish heritage.
Jewish, is it persuasion? No. Is it faith? No, I can't talk about faith. We can't have faith if I'm going to be a Democratic candidate. Persuasion, that's what I can say. Of the Jewish persuasion, that's acceptable. It's comical.
My current chief of staff is a fellow of the Jewish heritage. I have surrounded myself with diverse leaders because when you have diversity, that's a strength. You know why my state has been so economically successful? We have embraced diversity. We have.
What a clown show. I'd love to hear your thoughts. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973, and the fastest 15 is next.